Shalom. Thank you for joining us at with Parsha Perusal. This is Pastor Sam from Northern California, and it's good to have you with us today. We're going to be looking at Torah portion Va'etzeh, and that's found in Genesis 28:10, and it goes through Genesis 32:2. This Torah portion really is very foundational to the Jewish faith, and also by proxy to the Christian faith, which the Jewish faith is foundational of the Christian faith. If we look at what's happening here, Abraham has just confirmed the promise of God that it's going to go through Jacob's line. Jacob goes out from Beersheba, and he goes towards Haran. So he's heading back to, at the time, what would have been his father's house, home. And so he came to a certain place, it says. So we're looking at Genesis 28, starting at verse 10. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran, and he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he laid down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south, and in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid, and he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So before we go on, because we're going to look at a few more verses here, but before we go on, I just wanted to bring us back to, you know, here Jacob had been running from his brother Esau. God had basically delivered him, and he goes and he rests and he puts his head on a stone. You know, I'm sure he was feeling kind of, well, at least that's over. Maybe I won't have any more problems now at least with my brother. Probably kind of wondering about his situation. You know, am I really the one that God has chosen? It kind of got me in trouble last time, and I'm sure he's a bit worried about it. But he comes to this place and he dreams, and I love how God reestablishes his covenant with Jacob. He dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. Now, this is just an incredible dream when you think about it. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. You know, all Jacob would have known is these are messengers. These are beings from another world. We know them now as angels. That word angel, Malachi, means messenger of God. We're ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord. Now, this is different. This is not just an angel. The Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, God of Abraham, your father, and God of Isaac. Now, you know what's so cool about that is normally we hear the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? Well, this is Jacob. So he says, I am the Lord God of Abraham and the Lord God of your father, Isaac, the God of Isaac. He is becoming the God of Jacob as well. See, this is the point. It's at this point that God becomes Jacob's God. And it was already getting there, but this is the point where God is, and God's identifying himself. He's saying, I'm not just any God. I'm not some God of this tribe. I'm not some sun God or harvest God or rain God or whatever. I am the God of Abraham, your grandfather, and the God of Isaac, your father. I'm a personal God, and I'm your God. That's the implication here. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your descendants. So he is confirming the covenant that he had given to Abraham, the covenant he had given to Isaac, but now he's confirming that with Jacob, with Yaakov. I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You're going to be huge. You're going to have so many descendants. They're going to be like the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In you and in your seed. Now, we know that ultimately, this is talking about the Messiah coming through the seed of Jacob. So not only was the Messiah through Abraham, through Isaac, but now we see also through Jacob. But we also know that the descendants of Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel, have literally blessed the whole world in so many different ways. But specifically, the biggest way is the Messiah and the Savior of the world would come through Jacob. Look at verse 15. Behold, I'm with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. In other words, God says, I am not going to leave you alone. I'm going to complete the work that I have done, that I've started with you. I'm never going to leave you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to do everything I have said. This is something Jacob needs to hear right now. That God has not forgotten what he promised through Abraham, what he promised through Isaac. He is going to complete what he's promised to Jacob, he will do. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and he said, surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. You know, that's amazing. You know, he comes, he awakens from this rest, this head on the rock, you know. And it's amazing. He must have been really, really tired. But he awakens and he's like, the Lord is in this place. I didn't even know it. The Lord's everywhere, we know, but specifically, Jacob sees this place as being important. And he was afraid and he says, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. And it is the gate of heaven. Now, I can't help but thinking here that Jacob slightly misses the point. He doesn't miss the point that God has reaffirmed the covenant, but he does see that particular location as being special. And, you know, there's nothing actually wrong with that necessarily, because it was a special place because of what God showed him at this place. But it's kind of the attitude many times I think that we take today. You know, we call churches, the church building, the house of God. Well, what makes a church building special? Well, not the building, not the location of the building, but what happens when we're in the building, when we encounter the presence of God. That's what makes it special. And that's, you know, what he didn't listen to what God had just told him. He didn't fully hear. Well, maybe he did, but it didn't maybe sink in. That I am with you wherever you go. I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. Wherever you go, not just Bethel, not just this location. This location is special to Jacob because God made a revelation to him there. But wherever he goes, God is there. You know, he wakes up, he's like, wow, you know, surely the Lord is in this place. Well, if you'd listen to what God had just said, the Lord is everywhere. Wherever you go, Jacob, I am with you. And, you know, we forget that so many times. You know, we think that we have to be at this location or that location to experience God's presence. But the reality is God is with us wherever we go. You know, that's the awesome part about our Lord. He is not limited to a location. You know, there are places that he has set as his house. Yes, Jerusalem is his place, is his temple. That's where he had his house. But now we know that because his spirit resides in those who have trusted and believed in the Messiah, that everywhere we go, we have him within us, his spirit dwelling in us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? That is so awesome to be able to truly take God wherever we go. And God's promising Jacob here, I'm going to be with you wherever you go. Well, we see what Jacob does. And this is important to do this in our lives. If God meets you at a particular location, a particular place, you know, it's good to remember that. It's good to set that aside. I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. In fact, Jacob here does something else that's also very important. He sets up a stone of remembrance, an Ebenezer, a stone of remembrance. Then Jacob arose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put his head on, and he set it up as a pillar, and he poured oil on top of it, and he called the name of that place Bethel, which means house of God. But the name of that city had been called Luz previously. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me, which he just said he would, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give you a tenth. I will tithe. And he gets that idea of a tenth from his grandfather, Abraham, who gave a tithe to the priest of the Most High God of a tenth of everything that he had accumulated and captured when he went out against the kings that had taken Lot. So, you know, you have this is a good thing that Jacob is doing. He's recognizing, but you still see some questioning there. If God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, well, he just said he would, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on. I find that interesting. Lord, are you going to take care of me fully? Are you going to give me bread to eat and clothing? You know, give me some stuff, you know, so that I come back to my father's house in peace. Then the Lord shall be my God. So it's, you know, Jacob's response here is kind of conditional. You know, you see that there is maybe he's still struggling a little bit in the faith area. What's awesome about this whole relationship between the Lord and Jacob is it's very, how do I put this? It's not completely one-sided, but it's mostly one-sided. God chose Jacob. God chose Jacob in all with all of his failings, all of his warts. Many times we try to look at the patriarchs and we raise them up in our mind as being more than men, you know, just these, you know, but the reality is there wasn't anything extra special about Jacob. Out of all three, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jacob was probably the least special. And I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not degrading or whatever, but I'm saying that God even says later on, Israel, I didn't choose you because you were the biggest and the strongest. Now, of course, he's talking to the nation. But I believe that some of that he's actually talking about Jacob. Jacob, I didn't choose you because you were so good. In fact, you know, you were a bit of a, you know, conniver. You were holding on to your brother's heel. You got the birthright out of him over stew. You know, this was stuff that Jacob had come up with. God didn't tell him to go trick his brother into giving away the birthright. Now, God used that event. It showed that Jacob wanted the birthright. Jacob valued the birthright where Esau didn't, but it wasn't something God had told him to do. So Jacob understands. I think there's an aspect about Jacob that understands his own nature. He understands his failings. He understands that he is a master manipulator, that he is manipulated. That's one of the things that Esau hated about Jacob, was that Jacob was a manipulator. He manipulated for everything. And I know, you know, that I have in my past life, I have used manipulation. I still do sometimes, and I have to ask God to forgive me. When I say past life, I don't mean like I had some other life before this life, but I mean before I became, not just before I became a believer, but even after I became a believer, I was quite a manipulator for a long time. But before God really grabbed a hold of my heart and changed my heart and showed me that it's only by his grace that I have any goodness at all. It's his goodness. It's not my goodness. It's his righteousness, not mine. Before that, I would manipulate. I would manipulate quite often. And even after that, I sometimes would fall into that that aspect of manipulation. I think Jacob understands that about himself, you know, that some of the places that he's, what he's gained and what he's got, on some level, he's kind of proud of his ability to sway other people, to manipulate and those things. But see, that's the cool thing with God. God sees Jacob. God loves Jacob. Apart from all of that, he loves Jacob and he's chosen Jacob. Not because Jacob is so good, not because he's a master manipulator. The one good thing about Jacob is that he wanted the blessing of God. He wanted it. Now, he did a lot of things to get it that weren't so good, but he wanted it. And God loved it that he wanted it. And because Jacob wanted that blessing, God said, I choose Jacob. My preference is Jacob. Not because he's good, but because I've chosen him and I love him. And so Jacob here is struggling, I think, with, you know, even in the way he responds to God here, he's struggling with that love. He's like, well, how, why is God choosing me? Why is he loving me, you know, over my brother? Or why is he choosing me to pass, you know, to carry on and complete his promise? I don't deserve this. Jacob is real, you know, he realizes that. And that's actually a very good place to be in. But in realizing that, he also misses some things. He misses some of the things that God says. And he's not so sure about this God yet, you know, as he says here, if God does this and if he does this, then he will be my God. Well, newsflash, Jacob, he's already your God. He's your God whether you want it or not. He's your God whether you like it or not. He's your God. God has chose to be Jacob's God. Jacob had very little to do with that choice other than to eventually accept it. It's like God was wearing him down. And you know, I see this many times that God does this for whatever reason. I understand Jacob in this, in the sense. Not because I think of myself as being a patriarch, but I understand the struggle. I have, like I said, I've been a manipulator. Many times I've done things that were wrong. Jacob in his life, there are several things that clearly were wrong that he did. There's sins that seem to attach to him throughout his life. And yet God loved him. You know, Jacob wasn't very good necessarily with his children, but God loved him. And, you know, some of those things I can relate to. And I wonder, kind of like Jacob, I wonder, why does God care? Why does he love me? Why does he choose me? You know, and really, there's no clear answer to that other than God loves us. Even while we were still sinners, it says in Scripture, Messiah died for us. While we were still sinners, Messiah died for us. Isn't that awesome? God's love is not based on our action. The only action that causes us to be able to receive his love is faith. And Jacob had faith. He did believe. He did trust God. Just like Abraham, just like his father Isaac, Jacob also exercised faith. But the action was primarily God's. The love was God's. Jacob had to learn to love God. And that took literally his whole life. And then he had to learn how to love his children and learn how to love his wives and all of these things. And he wasn't very good at some of that. Now, you know, he had preferences with his wives. He had preferences with his children, which caused all sorts of issues. But he learned that God loved him. And that's the thing. We don't deserve the love of the Father. We don't deserve the love of the Son. We don't deserve that Yeshua, our Messiah, came and gave his very life to redeem us. What does that mean? We were outside of the family. Doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a non-Jew, we were still outside. Why were we outside? We were outside of that fellowship with God because of our sin. And later on, Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, says the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. It never fully took away sin. It caught, you know, God overlooked it for a time, but the sin was still there, and it was still held against the sinner. It was still held against the nation of Israel. The priest and their obedience and people coming and offering sacrifice, it didn't take away sin, but God held back his judgment until that time where the perfect lamb, Yeshua, our Messiah, came, and he was perfect. He walked this earth perfectly. He never once sinned. He never once broke God's law. He never went against God's will. He was always acceptable to his Father. He kept the law perfectly, and he was the perfect sacrifice. His blood shed cleanses from all sin. His blood was given for all sin, for all time. And he paid for that. And when you and I believe and we trust in the work of Yeshua, we are made righteous. You know, and part of it is also because he did not stay dead. After he was a sacrifice, after he paid for all sin, he rose from the dead. And he conquered death. And in conquering death, he sets us free from the fear of death. So we no longer have to be afraid of the thing that we've been most afraid of since we've been born. And that's dying. We have an innate fear of dying. You know, that's why people try their hardest to survive. Even children try their hardest. Even if you don't fully understand what death can mean, you still try your hardest to live. But we don't have to fear death anymore, because spiritual death, which is the eternal death, if you have trusted in Yeshua and the work of Yeshua, you have life and you have eternal life. You can never die spiritually. Even better, we also get a new glorified body. When we are resurrected, we get, just as Yeshua was resurrected, we get a new glorified body. All of this started right here, with God continuing this promise to Jacob, because it was through the seed of Jacob that all the nations would be blessed. Blessed with what? Ultimately blessed with eternal life. Ultimately blessed with the Savior and the Messiah who could take away sin and take away the thing that had destroyed and is continuing to destroy humanity to this day. But it all started with these men of faith, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob, he was a man of faith. He was faulty. He had all sorts of issues and even struggled with his faith sometimes. And yet he had been chosen by God, and God loved him. In spite of those things, God loved him, and God had chosen him to ultimately bring the seed of the Messiah into the world. Anyways, just so awesome. This is an awesome passage. All the passages of the Torah are awesome, but this, I really have always enjoyed this particular part. And so as you go through this week, be listening to what the Lord is saying, listening to what he says through his word, listening to what he says through his spirit. You know, I dream every now and then. I don't take most of my dreams seriously. But there are times that God speaks to us through dreams and through visions. And it's we need to be aware of that, and we need to be open to God speaking through dreams and visions. You know, our dreams and visions are not the Word of God. They all need to be filtered through the Word of God, but we need to be open to God speaking through them. Anyways, have a great week. Let's just pray and thank the Lord. Avinu, Melchenu, our Father, our King, we just thank you right now for your word, for your Torah, for what you've shown us even today through your Torah. Help us to trust you. Lord, help us to receive your love by faith. You love us. And Lord, we don't understand why you love us, but you do. We don't understand why you choose us, but you do. And we accept it. We receive it. And we thank you for it. And help us to, by faith, act in the way that you have told us to go. You say you're with us. We trust you. We believe you. Help us to move forward, doing those things that you have called us to do. Thank you so much for everything you have done. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen. Yivarechach Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'ir Adonai panav elecha v'hunecha, Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Shalom, shalom, till we talk again. Have a great week.